This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing a wide range of sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. And our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Glad to be with you today, and we'll talk a wide variety of sports. We're going to start out talking about hockey today. This hockey season starts tonight. Michigan State faces Windsor in an exhibition contest. So let's bring in the voice of MSU hockey, Scott Moore. Scott, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. It's hockey season. How can I be doing anything but great?
Well, have you had a chance to watch the guys practice much so far?
I was over there on Saturday morning and watched a little bit of the first actual practice of the season. And it felt good to get back into the arena, and it felt good to see a whole bunch of guys out there. But, boy, there's an awful lot of new faces on that team.
Yeah, so what do you expect tonight? What are you looking for tonight? I mean, you're going to be calling a game with a lot of new faces out there.
A lot of new faces. And luckily, actually, we're not going to be on the air tonight. This is my night to learn all these new names and put them with numbers so that we can hit the ground running on Friday night up in Minneapolis. But I'm expecting a mixed bag out of this team this evening. You know, it's different. Somebody made the point at Media Day last week, the fact that, you know, the football team, they work together all summer, and then they get their fall camp, and they get 3 weeks of fall camp and then a week to get ready for their first game. So they get a whole month's worth of practices. This hockey team got together twice Saturday, twice Sunday, game tonight, first game that counts on Friday. It's just a breakneck pace at the start of the season to try to get ready for a very important road game.
Yes, I've often wondered, Scott, how many times do the guys get together to work out unofficially? You know, we know those practices that they have, like in football and basketball, that don't count. Mm-hmm. You know, they have the same thing in hockey, I assume. They have practices that don't count officially.
Yeah, they refer to them as captain's practices. And I asked Anthony Hayes that at Media Day last week, and he said it's just from the point that the ice was actually put back in. You know, in the summer, they take the ice down and they fix all the boards and they get everything ready to go for the season. They get the ice back in about middle of July. And he said that there'd probably been at least some of the guys together just about every day. So, you know, these guys, they know each other well. They know their tendencies well, and they've been out there working. But it's a very different story between a captain's practice and an actual coach's practice. Mm-hmm. and an actual coach's game. Tom Anastas mentioned last week that he was going to have them do a lot of scrimmaging because there's no substitute for that competition, that actual game experience, and that's what this team is short on, is game experience together.
Yes, and that's going to take a while to get that game experience, to guys to know each other and get to be familiar with each other and how, you know, how everyone wants to puck. And basically, you know, Tom was a very aggressive coach, as we saw last year in his first year. You expect him to still have all the same aggression, the team be even more aggressive with these young players?
I think he will, because that's the style that he wants to play here. And so, you know, rather than change what he wants the team to do, he's going to let these young guys know that this is what's going to be expected of you, and we're going to play this style of hockey. So it'll be interesting to see how they do this evening against the University of Windsor.
It will, because you know, everybody's wondering. When you have a lot of new players, you have a lot of questions. A lot of people wondering, of course, how good is this team going to be? What should they expect from them? So what do you expect from them to see in this first exhibition game?
It'll be interesting for me to watch the defensemen, because, you know, you look at the defensive core and there's only two names back, and Matt Grassi really didn't play much of the second half of the season after he went out against Miami with a concussion. So, you know, it's been a while since he's been on the ice in a competitive nature. Jake Chelios, who's been a defenseman for all of two seasons now, actually a season and a half, really, is your top returning defenseman along with Matt Grassi. So it's going to be interesting to watch the defensive core and to watch the young guys and see how they react to the style of play that Tom wants them to play. So that's the thing that I'm going to be the most interested in. I think the offense will come, and you know the team lost a scoring punch, but they lost it out of the defensive core with Torrey Krug. But you know, guys like Lee Reimer are back, Kevin Walrod's back, Anthony Hayes is back. I think the offense will come, but the interesting thing right now is going to be defensemen. The other thing, you know, talking about the defensemen, something that Coach Anastas talked about last week, the fact that you know he'd like to put a seasoned defenseman along with a rookie defenseman, you know, just to kind of help to quell any of those mistakes that could come out of the rookies. But with only two experienced defensemen back, you can't do that. You're going to have one defensive pairing that's going to be new guys.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how everything comes together there.
Yes, and I'm assuming you're going to be looking as well as how do they develop, who do they choose for the third and fourth lines?
Yeah, exactly. You know, who are those third and fourth line forwards? You know, there are a lot of questions. When you've got a roster of roughly 26 names and 12 of them didn't even touch the ice at the college level last year, that's what we're up against. There's an awful lot of new people, but there's talent there. I mean, the kids that they've brought in have some talent. So it's not all going to be doom and gloom. I think these guys can play the game. It may take a while for them to gel as a team, but we'll get a good flavor of it here this evening.
Yeah, now I know you and I were around when the students couldn't get tickets to the hockey arena. Mm-hmm. I mean, they would have to beg, borrow, and steal to get some. Now they can get some. Would you expect Tom to have a lot larger student section tonight because students can get in? I know it's a different time now, but students can get into the hockey games.
Well, you know, the thing that I've noticed, and I've been tuned in on Twitter feeds quite a bit. And I've seen more mentions in that forum about how excited the student base is for hockey to start. You know, these tweets that I'm seeing aren't just from mom and dad, and it's not from, you know, lifetime members of the Blue Line Club. It's from new names, new faces, that they're excited about the start of the season. So I have a feeling that we're going to have a pretty good-sized student section in that building this evening. Oh, I hope so, because these guys were great last year. They got a new name, a new identity. It's the A team, and I think they're going to bring their A game tonight.
Well, that's certainly good. Hopefully they will, that's for sure. Because I know I'd rather talk to you after a winning team when you're in a much better mood when the team wins.
Well, if you're talking to me at the arena after a team wins, that doesn't happen at all. So, but I've decided that we're going to lift the ban.
Oh, okay.
And so if you are so inclined, mm-hmm. you will be allowed into the building. But, my friend, you're on a short leash, okay?
I figured that would as much. Between you and Rico ganging up on me, I won't. There's not much room.
Well, I'm thinking about banning Rico. Maybe he's the issue.
He probably is. I think so. hey, when we look at where do you see the scoring coming from? Because I mean, everybody's going to wonder who's going to score the goals for this team.
Yeah, last year it was really generated from the blue line with Torrey Krug back there. Not only the goals, but the assists. So that is going to be a question. You know, guys that had good starts to the season last year, like Lee Reimer, he's going to be a key. He's going to have to step up and be the guy. So yeah, I'm looking for Lee Reimer to have a good season this season. Anthony Hayes has been more of a defensive forward, but he's in a leadership role now. He was an assistant captain last year. They don't have their captains yet, but you got to figure that Anthony Hayes, being the only player back who had a letter on his sweater last year, has got to be in the running for that captaincy. So he's going to have to step up and become one of the better players on the team. And the few seniors that they have, are going to have to be the guys that get it done. So looking for Kevin Walrod to break out and have a good senior season as well. Those are the guys that I'm looking for. And you know, there's such talent in the freshman corps. You know, one of those guys could take everybody, not necessarily by surprise, but they could open some eyes early on in the season.
Now, when guys, Scott, you know, they have a really good rookie year and they may get drafted, how do you see, how high do you think a guy has to get drafted before they give a serious consideration about going to the next level or trying to get in the next level?
Well, it works a little bit differently in the hockey game, and it's because of the collective bargaining agreement that they've had. Now, who knows what the new collective bargaining agreement, if they ever get one, is going to look like. But the reason that you saw so many juniors go in the past was because of the way the collective bargaining agreement was written. A team retains the rights to somebody that they draft until that person's class finishes college. And in the past, before the last CBA, they retained those rights for an extra year after that class was out. So there wasn't the rush to sign a kid. You had some time once his class graduated from college to sign him. Well, that changed in the last CBA. So it got to the point where they only had until that summer's draft to sign a kid. So if a kid had a great senior season, all he had to do, if he didn't like the offer he was getting from the team that drafted him, was just hang on a couple of months, and then he'd become a free agent. So because of that, that's why you saw all these kids getting drafted or getting signed as juniors. Some of them were draft choices. The team didn't want to risk losing a draft choice by not signing him, so they'd make a great offer to him after his junior season. Other guys, you remember Andrew Rowe, who played for Michigan State, was undrafted, and he had a very solid couple of years for Michigan State, and he got some money thrown his way by, I believe it was Philadelphia. And so they signed him. And the same thing with Torrey Krug last year. After his junior season, the Bruins liked what they saw enough to make him an offer that he was just too good to turn down. So it usually, you know, a kid that comes in, if he's undrafted but eligible for the draft after his freshman year, you'll see him get drafted. But, you know, unless he's like a top three rounds, usually he's going to stay put and stay in college for a couple of years. And especially with the staff that we've got in place now, with Tom Anastas, with Kelly Miller, who has all of these NHL connections and all of this NHL experience, the NHL teams like what Tom is doing and what the coaching staff here is doing to help develop players. So they're in no real rush to get kids out of Michigan State.
Yes, I know last year we were very impressed with how Tom came in and established his program. He's got everyone playing, you know, at a very high level. He got especially the third and fourth stringers, those guys to play at that very fast pace that he likes. And I was really impressed with how everybody seemed to buy in to what he was preaching last year and teaching.
Well, the style of hockey that he wants them to play is a fun style to play. I mean, when you're always being proactive rather than reactive, you know, you're taking the game to your opponent, and you're on the attack all the time. And the guys love playing that style of hockey. There's just no question about it. You know, if you're in a reactive situation, you're kind of kicking back and waiting to see what the opponent does. It's a little bit easier for the opponent to beat you if he gets the jump on you that way. So by going up and being aggressive and bringing the play to the opponents, the guys like it. And I think that more than anything else was why they all bought in so quickly to that style, because it's something they enjoy doing.
Okay. Hey, Scott, I want to thank you for joining me. You know, we'll be talking a lot during hockey season. It's a long season, so we'll spend a lot of time on the radio together.
Okay. That's fine. And like I said, we'll let you in.
Okay.
And so I expect to see you there tonight.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
Hey, we'll talk to you later,
right,
buddy.
Take care.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's Scott Moore, the voice of Michigan State hockey, right here on AM 870. The time is 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870. 70 WKAR.
Civil war in Syria, violent protests from Benghazi to Beijing suggest a very violent world. Psychologist Steven Pinker disagrees.
You don't calibrate the violence that does occur against all of the violence that doesn't occur but could occur given the size of the Earth's population.
I'm Neil Conan, the most peaceful era in human history, plus teaching multiracial identity in a changing world. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
I'm Scott Pohl with the weather forecast. The high today, 55 degrees and sunny. Tonight, partly cloudy and the low will be 40. Tomorrow, windy and mostly sunny. The high will be 64 on Tuesday. On Wednesday, the high back down to the low 50s, partly sunny and windy. Maybe some morning rain Wednesday.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Now we're going to talk about that game that Michigan State played on Saturday against Indiana, and we bring in Matt Charbonneau. Matt was at the game. I was there with you, Matt. That was a very shocking start to that game, needless to say the least.
Yeah, I don't think most of us saw that one coming. And, you know, I don't know, is this becoming a trend for this team and their slow starts? I mean, in four games, they have three total points in the first quarter. So, you know, you can get away with it at Indiana. You can get away with it with Eastern Michigan. I'm afraid in the next few weeks, you have that same kind of pattern, it's going to get pretty ugly.
Exactly. Yeah, I can't see them winning those. And they almost lost. You know, the big problem Indiana had was, I think you wrote that too in one of your comments. They should have went for it when they had it fourth down and on the 2 yard line. It's no way to me they should have kicked that field goal. They should have went for the score, even if, and I think they might have got it because that would have kept them in that aggressive mode. But they got less aggressive the rest of the game after that. They just started playing a regular conventional offensive game.
Yeah, Mark D'Antonio said the same thing. That might have been the difference, which. It's kind of odd when you think about it, but, you know, they had just pulled off the onside kick.
Sure.
They were in they're about, you know, a yard and a half there from taking away all 14 points that Michigan State had gotten, you know, and kind of taking momentum, and they were going to get it all back in about 2.5 minutes. So I was really surprised he went for the field goal. I'm with you. I think if he, you know, if they pounded in there, which I kind of think they were going to, You take away everything Michigan State just accomplished in the second quarter. Now they go in at halftime really wondering what's going on. Not only that, the Indiana team's going in at halftime thinking, you know, we can beat these guys. So I was really surprised by it, especially a guy with a young program. I figure at that point, you got a team like that on the ropes, you go for everything. You showed it with the onside kick, so I was surprised he kind of backed off there.
Yeah, I was too, because the issue, I mean, yeah, you, I mean, the, and they didn't even come close, even getting close to getting that onside kick. It was executed so well, you know, that was a great onside kick. And for Michigan State, and not to even come close to getting it, it shows how much they were caught off guard, you know. And Indiana played a pretty good game, and I think Kevin Wilson, who came from Oklahoma, I think he probably learned that this is his first big head coaching stint. He'll probably learn from that one. He probably won't do that again. He'll go for the juggler if you get a chance. I think he's learning that, but that's one thing you do. You go for the juggler no matter when you get a chance to, and he certainly blew that chance in that game.
Yeah, especially when you're at home, too. I mean, at the worst, I mean, you haven't given anything up. I mean, Michigan State at that point had done virtually nothing offensively, and you're asking them to get out of their own goal line. You know, I thought it was perfect coaching right up until that point.
Yeah.
I mean, he was taking the perfect approach of an underdog being up on a team that it probably shouldn't have been up on, but was, all the way right up until he was staring at that fourth down. And then I think it was the first time he thought, well, get my points, and we need to play it safe, which kind of surprised me.
Mm, me too.
Because by then, we saw in the second half, Michigan State played far better defensively, started moving the ball, and I think they really missed an opportunity there. It could have really changed things.
Okay. Well, we got a caller on the line. Let's go to the caller. Bob, how you doing?
Hey, hello, Bob. I have a question for both of you. You seem to think that if Michigan State starts slow again against their next few opponents, that they'll end up in a bad situation, worse than in Indiana. And I guess I don't understand why. None of the opponents except Michigan has demonstrated any different than Indiana. Nebraska was up by 17 points over Ohio State, and they got hammered. They scored 63 points. Northwestern was up on Penn State. Penn State scored 39 points.
Yeah, but Michigan State can't score points.
They did score points. They scored 31 points. So what do you mean they can't score points?
Can I jump in here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's a big, giant difference. Anyone who looks at Indiana and thinks they can compare it to these, and I mean, maybe not Iowa, but I'm talking Michigan, Wisconsin, Nebraska. If we want to compare Indiana to those teams, I think we're living in a bit of a dream world. The other thing is all those teams score points consistently. They don't do it for a half. Indiana did it for a half. Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, not so much, but certainly Michigan and Nebraska are going to score plenty of points. 38 points on most nights is pretty darn good.
How do you know they're going to score points?
I'm going by trends. They've scored all season long. They're near the top in the Big Ten in scoring.
Against Michigan State, have they scored? Who scored in the second?
They haven't played them yet.
Nebraska scored 24 points on essentially the same defense last year. You don't think they can do it again?
Who has scored a lot of points in the second half against Michigan State?
Well, I think we'll see.
They haven't played these teams. I guess I'm not following this. I can't. I don't have a crystal ball. I'm saying, in my opinion, if they have the same kind of effort they had against Indiana, arguably the worst team in the Big Ten, a team that gave up 700-plus yards to Northwestern the week before, they do that in those three games, they will lose every single one of those games.
You don't know that. Northwestern's couldn't give up all those points.
I know I don't know that. I'm saying that's my opinion. Of course I don't know it. They could win every game or lose every game.
Northwestern scored 29 points. I mean, Indiana scored 29 points against Northwestern.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, yep.
And Ohio State only scored 17 against Michigan State. So you're telling me that Nebraska, who scored whatever against Ohio State,
38.
And Ohio State only scored 17 against Michigan State, so maybe Michigan State's defense can do what Ohio State's defense couldn't.
Well, I don't know about that.
You could be absolutely right, mm-hmm. And I've never for once said this defense is not a good defense. I don't think they've played up to their expectations, their own expectations, what they've said. I don't think they've played up to it to this point. I think they've come a lot closer the last 2 weeks, but I've never said this defense can't stop anybody.
So if Michigan State can score 31 points against Indiana in a game, which was basically a balanced attack, Michigan State had a balanced attack. They scored 14 in the first half, 17 in the second half. Okay, 31 points. They scored 31 points. If they scored 31 points every game, you don't think they're going to win?
Of course, But they scored 31 points against the worst, not my opinion, statistically, the worst defense in the Big Ten, one of the worst in the country.
Well, yes. Nebraska just scored 63 points against, Ohio State just scored 63 points against Nebraska.
I got you. So, I understand. You can be absolutely right, and it'll go exactly how you're saying. I'm just saying this team, if they expect to beat the good teams, they can't continue to start slow, which they've done not just against Indiana. They've done it for 4 or 5 weeks now.
It was the defense that started poorly against Indiana. They gave up 24 points. They had 24 points in the first half.
Everybody started poorly.
I mean, it's just one of those games. Yeah, they just started poorly, and their offense started poorly, and the defense, I mean – like you said, and I agree with you, Matt. I mean, if you start out that slow again, you're going to pay for it somewhere down the line. You just can't continue to start out that slow.
Yeah, he could be absolutely right. I think this team is far better than it's showing. If they suddenly turn that around in the next week and don't have that, absolutely, they can beat all three of these teams. I've said from the beginning of the year, they're better than all these teams. I just don't think they're showing it. And if they continue with the same performance we've seen, we can only go on what we've seen. If they continue with that, in my opinion, it's going to be bad news. I guess those three teams can all go down the drain, too. I'm just not expecting it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Todd on the line. Todd, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Things are getting a little feisty on the show today. I kind of like that. A little spunk. I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's kind of up my avenue. And I'm going in a direction that's kind of the same thing, but different. You know what? I have followed Michigan State football for a while, graduated. That doesn't make me a better or worse fan. But to me, one of the greatest things that Coach D'Antonio has done is brought discipline and maturity to this football. Are these kids all perfect? No. They make mistakes? Yes. Are they going to lose football games? Certainly. Have they won more than they lost? Certainly so. But what I saw in the first half of that game, especially the first quarter against Indiana, is football that I had seen, and you guys can each name games and plays and players along the same line. All that I ask for my team is that they come ready to play and that they get their best effort. There are going to be days where that's not enough. Hopefully there are many more days when that is enough. But when you have six 15-yard penalties in the first quarter, a quarter and a half for 85 yards, that to me is an indication of a football team that either thinks they're going to get off the bus and win because they're wearing green and white jerseys, or they don't want to be there. I like I said, I had accepted losses and bad losses, and we could name them under even Coach D'Antonio, where they were beaten by a better football team. They won last Saturday. But I tell you what, to me, the first quarter especially of that game against Indiana was what I had hoped Michigan State had put behind it. And when I watched it, I did not think that this coaching staff and this football team had that in them. Where in the world did that come from? I can understand when the other team's better, they're showing up to win the football game too. But when you yourself either aren't capable of giving that effort or underestimating your opponent, that isn't acceptable. How does a coach react to that? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That's a good question. I mean, you know, I know he was. We know that Mark was surprised about the and he said he didn't call it a stunning the way he was just surprised by that slow start and the continuing of the slow start. I don't know if he has to give better speeches or what he needs to do to get this team ready to play coming out of the gate. But you know, it's certainly been a problem for State, and they had a problem like that for a lot of games last year as well.
I agree that it was surprising to me. You don't necessarily see that under Mark D'Antonio, and I really don't think it's a matter of these guys not wanting to be there. I don't think that at all. I think when we're around them, I think you see how much they want to win. I think there is a little bit of that of, hey, we're going to Indiana. Maybe it's not going to take as much. Maybe they're not saying that to each other, but maybe deep down they're thinking that, and it takes that quarter of getting smacked around for them to wake up and realize that. You know, Max Bulla talked about how it takes time to adjust to the offense and to defend the offense. Well, that's a problem if it takes you 15 minutes to figure it out or even longer. You know, and I mean, they knew it was happening coming in. They talked about practicing it all week. But then to come up and show up on game day and still feel not prepared and a bit overwhelmed by the speed, that was surprising to me. I think that spoke a little bit to the preparation of this team. I'm as big a supporter of this coaching staff as anybody. I think they've done an amazing job here, but I think especially in the first 30 minutes of that game, I think they were out-coached. And, you know, that doesn't mean they're bad or that it's going to ruin the season or that happens every week. I think in that half, they weren't as prepared as Indiana, and that surprised me a little bit.
Yes, I agree. I definitely don't think they were prepared for that Indiana game. And I don't know what they can do to fix it, what can they do to get the guys better, you know, coming out smoking or coming out on fire in the first half. We know other teams can do it around the country, but it seems like just the nature of the game, you should be ready to play when the whistle blows. And Michigan State hasn't been that way in this year, basically. They really haven't been that way much. So they're going to have to do something to try to get better starts and to play better, because if it keeps going like this, like we say, they're going to be in some trouble in these next six games coming up.
Yeah, and I don't think it's for a lack of trying. I mean, we asked Mark about it after the game, and he says, you know, they're trying all different sorts of things. So it's not like they're just sitting back and saying, boy, I hope it happens this week. You know, these guys are constantly working. I don't think there's any question about that. You know, it's not like they're taking a day off to go fishing or something. I mean, these guys are working at it. It's just right now I think it is kind of a mystery. You're looking at a team that's accomplished a lot, and you're kind of wondering, why is it taking them so long to get going? And I don't think there's a perfect answer or an easy answer for it. So, but I don't, there's no doubt they need to get it figured out at this point.
Yeah, do you think it, maybe it's possible that the guys are living off of their accolades, what they've done in the last couple of years, the ones that have been around? It seems like they're an awfully confident group that maybe they think they're going to win each game instead of going into a game saying, boy, this is going to be a tough game, and I don't know whether we'll win or lose, but it's going to be a tough game. And it seems like these guys might have a little bit too much confidence at this time.
Yeah, I mean, there might be. I guess that could absolutely be the case. I mean, maybe we're around this team too much. I get the sense from a lot of guys that that's not their approach. So that's why it's a little more confusing to me. I asked Johnny Adams after the game how he thinks he's playing, and for the first time, I had someone admit to me, I'm not playing very well. You know, because up to this point, you would hear, oh, you know, we're doing fine.
Right.
We'll start better. I think it's maybe at this point now, it's finally hitting some of these guys. But they're not performing the way they need to, and whether that's their preparation, whether that's their mental approach before the game, or there's something, you know, in terms of execution they're not doing, I think maybe it's starting to hit them a little bit. You know, maybe this is kind of the perfect timing. You kind of get it all worked out against Iowa, although that's not going to be easy because it gets tougher. And, I was kind of interesting to me to finally hear a player say, I'm not really playing very well. I need to play better. So, We'll see if that translates into a better start, certainly at least for Johnny Adams and the defense.
Yes, because they certainly need to better started. And we know part of the excuse is, if there's an excuse, there's a lot of new players that are getting in and getting a chance to play, a player that didn't play much last year. You can wonder, the only thing I wonder about, why didn't some of the other players get a little bit more playing time that didn't play at all that you're expecting from big contributions from this year. Maybe that has a little bit to do with it on all the players that are playing now that didn't play very much last year. And I don't know if that's the case, but, boy, they need something from a lot of the other players, from a lot of the other guys that are supposed to be some of the main contributors this year.
Well, yeah, I think you can certainly look to that offensively. I mean, the offensive line has been, sure, you've got guys coming in to replace injured guys that have started, but not guys who played a lot. Yeah. So, I mean, you're looking at experience up there. And then, of course, the receiver issue we've gone over and over and over again. And maybe we've seen that this week, at Indiana. Maybe it is taking a play or the play of Aaron Burbridge to kind of spark this team. It was funny. You watch him going up and attacking that ball and going after the ball and catching it, and it became almost as contagious as the drops have been. I mean, you saw other receivers going after the ball. I mean, I counted one drop the whole time. I mean, one blatant drop, and strangely enough, it was Aaron Burbridge. So, I think he made up for it with 8 catches and 134. But, you see that kind of rub off in the other guys. You see Benny Fowler make a good catch and then an even better run to put them ahead in the game. And I don't think you were seeing that, not so much that effort, but you weren't seeing that execution certainly in the previous 5 games. So, maybe it's going to take a performance like that to kind of spark everybody and get them all on the same page.
Yes, that's for sure. I mean, they all need to do something like that. They definitely need to be fired up, as no doubt, when they come out of that locker room. And so we'll just have to wait and see how Michigan State handles it from here on out. They're halfway through the season, 4-2. And matter of fact, the two I predicted those two losses. So I thought they would lose to Notre Dame and Ohio State. I don't know about the next one. I was fairly confident that they could probably handle Michigan. I'm not that confident anymore. I'm gonna have to wait and see how they do on that one.
Yeah, Earl, I still go back on a lot of these. I still go back to the defense. I'm gonna take the team with a proven solid defense. Yes, Michigan State has not played up to what they expect, and they've said it multiple times. But looking at that, even what they have is pretty doggone good. And I think you've seen a bit of an uptick from them the last couple of weeks. And, in a tight game, I'm going to take the defense every time. And I don't think there's any question, going back to what the caller said before, I don't think there's any question in those 3 games that Michigan State has by far the superior defense. You know, it's just a matter of, are you going to be able to score enough points, to beat this team? And when it's tight, give me the defense every time, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, Matt, I want to thank you for being with me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And we'll talk some more. We've got 6 games left, so we'll be talking a few more times, buddy.
All right, Earl, you got it. Thanks for having me.
Okay, thank you, Matt. We'll talk to you later, my man. Bye-bye. And that's Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News talking sports with us right here on AM 870. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
The Bible tells us God created man in his own image and started with Adam. Modern scientists, even many Christian ones, say
that would be against all the genomics evidence that we've assembled over the last 20 years.
I'm Neil Conan, science and the religious divide over Adam and Eve. Plus one cellist's nightmare, flying coach. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Sunny and a high today in the mid-50s. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 40. It'll be windy tomorrow and mostly sunny. The high Tuesday, 64. Wednesday's outlook, windy and partly sunny. We might start the day with some morning rain. Wednesday's high in the low 50s. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, Aaron, you know, we're having our fundraiser this week, and we're asking our listeners to call in and pledge their support to WKAR. Give us your pledge and call us up. What we're doing now is asking you to call, pledge your support at 353-5000, 353-5000, and pledge your support to WKAR. We want you to become a member of the WKAR family. So many of you have been giving support to WKAR over the years, and so we want to thank you all for giving your support, and want to thank you all for pledging your support to WKAR. You know, we're definitely a family atmosphere, family station, and we expect and we hope that all of you out there will call and get pledge your support. We know a lot of you have not been giving all the time, so we want you to dig down in your hearts and in your pockets and give for the first time if you've never been a contributor to WKAR before. Once again, call us at 353-5000, area code 517-353-5000 to pledge your support to WKAR in East Lansing. Well, Aaron, one good thing happened. The Lions didn't lose this week. Of course, they didn't play, but that's a good reason why they didn't lose, because they didn't play. So I know they get back in action this week. So what are you looking for the Lions at this point in time?
Well, frankly, I'm just looking. If I'm them, I this is where I start my season. I mean, before this bye week, I mean, they've just had a rough start. That defensive line just hasn't done anything, compared to what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, that's supposed to be the strength of the team, too.
They had some injuries, as they always do. It happens every year for the Lions. I don't know why that is. And hopefully some of those guys are coming back. I think Delma should be back. Stafford seemed like he got banged up a little bit here and there. Hopefully the week off will kind of help heal those wounds. But, you know, frankly, he wasn't playing to his par. He had a lot of inaccurate passes. So hopefully he'll get back to the form that we saw last year. Maybe not numbers wise, but just the form. Just everyone coming back together and, we can actually be a really good team. We are really good. We got some holes on defense, but that's all right. You know, if everyone steps up, those holes shouldn't be a problem. So frankly, I just I'm looking for them to come back. Basically, this is let's start 0-0 and have a great rest of the season.
Yeah, that's for sure, because they're going to need it. They have to get up off the snide, and that this defense has to play better. The special teams has to play better. They've been hurt a lot in the special teams the past couple of weeks, so they're going to have to get. That's the thing. You can't go out and pick up a lot of very good players. They're good. They were good college players, but of course. The difference between college and pro is night and day. So a lot of those guys can't make the jump to the pros, but they certainly need to find someone out there who can contribute, especially on special teams.
Yeah, special teams is always tough. I mean, it's not like you can just – there's not someone sitting on the couch waiting. That's like a Class A special teams player by any means. It's usually guys that are second, third string, whatever, that are the ones that do the special teams. So – they're not going to be able to go out and find anyone specifically for special teams. It's just a matter of execution, frankly. It's not that – I don't think it's that difficult to teach with the kickoffs. You know, there's hardly any kickoffs anymore in the sense of running them back just because, the rule change and all. But, the punt returns and stuff, they've had issues there. I mean, that's just a matter of, I think, execution. The players just aren't executing. I don't think it's that difficult to teach how to do a punt returner, all those sorts of things. So it's just a matter of executing again. As I said before, I think it's just a matter of everyone just stepping up and being as good as they can be. and them realizing that and them, you know, actually executing it.
And it seems like they've started to figure out how to cover Calvin Johnson. He's only had one good game out of the four games he's had, one really good game. So it looks like the defenses are honing in. They're having someone underneath, and then they're having someone over the top coming in late, and they're laying a good hit on Calvin Johnson. So maybe that's a problem for him because he's getting hit. I saw the last game he took some really big shots. So I don't know. They're going to have to do something to free him up and get him more in the open somehow. Some kind of way.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But I would say if I'm the Lions, well, how do I counteract that? Well, I get a run game going. LeSure, he's not going to be the fastest guy on the field by any means, but he's a powerful back. And, if that offensive line can actually do some blocking for him, he's proven he can be effective if the offensive line can block. So if you can get a solid run game going, for the Lions, anything over probably 70, 80 yards is a bonus for them compared to what they're used to. So, and you still got Smith on the team. I mean, you can still utilize him in special ways, run him out on the flat, those kind of things. So he's got some speed. So that's how you counteract with them figuring out how to cover Calvin. Once you open up that run game, Calvin's probably going to open up a little bit more. The other receivers should open up a little bit more, and your tight end should open up a little bit more. So, I mean, it's just a back-and-forth kind of game. So I think if the Lions can figure that out and they can actually execute those things, I think that'll benefit them much more for as far as Johnson's concerned.
Yes, that's for sure. And give us a call. Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We've got to get this. A lot of people, I think, they're starting to jump off the bandwagon, Aaron, because a lot of people were thinking this team would go 10-6 or 11-5, and it looks like they're going to be 9-7 or less, possibly. They might miss the playoffs because Minnesota is really – no one thought that Minnesota would be as good or better than the Lions are this year. And right now it looks like Minnesota, Green Bay, and the other team is Chicago, are all better in that division for those three teams. They'd all are looking a lot better than what the Lions are looking at so far. So they've got some things to do. It's going to be definitely a struggle for them. Hey, give us a call. Talk Sports with us. Let's go to the phones. We've got Todd on the line. Todd, how you doing?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Okay.
Again, two comments on the subjects you've already discussed. The first one is the Lions and Calvin Johnson. I was watching, I think it was Indianapolis Green Bay. It was whoever was playing Green Bay yesterday. They had a guy on the team named Reggie Wayne who was a receiver.
Yep.
And they threw to him like 9 out of 10 times, and the other team couldn't stop him. And while I was watching that, I kept thinking about the Lions' philosophy of, well, if they double-team Calvin Johnson, just taking out the game and don't throw to him, when other teams, if they have a prime time player, they find a way to get it to him. They don't let the other team dictate what they can or cannot do, and it would seem like they need to be a little bit more imaginative in terms of getting Calvin the ball instead of just giving up on him and then letting the other team dictate it.
Oh, I agree. They certainly should. That's for sure.
Okay. My other comment has to do with the Michigan State team. I understand that they're catching a lot of criticism, but I looked at this team as not a reloaded team, but a rebuilding team.
Right.
When you look at all the inexperience they have on the offense, I think that a come from behind win on the road against a little bit of a challenging team, I looked at that as a step forward. Obviously, not where we want to be, but I saw progress in that they are eventually turning things around and finding out who the prime time players are going to be. So I'll take you and your guest response off the air.
Okay, thank you. As far as that one with Michigan State's getting the prime time players, first off, I think they've got to find those prime time players. Some of the players are emerging now, Aaron. They're finally starting to play better, and you're going to have to rely on them. I think a lot of that, especially in football and like in college football, if the guy is a year older, I mean, Burbridge got to play as a freshman. He should have been starting as a you know, the first year coming in. But they waited till almost through half the season before he got a significant amount of playing time. Sometimes coaches get hung up on the guys that are, you know, the seniors or the juniors should be the team leaders, and they should be the guys you depend on. Sometimes you're going to have to depend on the younger players because the younger players are better. And it seems like this is one of those times where they probably should do a little bit more and concentrate a little bit more on the younger players.
Yeah, I mean, just because someone's you know, a junior or senior doesn't make them a better leader or a better player by any means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of young guys that come in with a lot of energy, and, you know, who knows where they come from as far as high school is concerned. Maybe they were in a program that won so many championships, and they were the leader in that team, and it was a huge program. And, you know, there's so many scenarios or, you know, I guess instances where a young player could be the guy that, you know, is the one that steps up and, you know, everyone rallies around. You know, just because you have maybe have more juniors and seniors, or maybe you have a couple that you think will be the leaders, but for some reason isn't turning out to be that way, then you got to turn to some of the young guys, like you said. So I don't think there's any downside to try to turn into maybe some of these young guys sometimes. But, you know, I guess that's just part of the coaching job, and you kind of got to see who's going to step up and who doesn't step up.
Yes, and with Calvin Johnson, yes, they sometimes you do force the ball in, and sometimes when you're throwing in between, when they've got you sandwiched, they've got to throw the ball and not throw it right in his chest area, but throw it up high where he can get it where the defenders, because most defenders, as you know, are like 5'11", 6 feet tall. I think maybe the tallest defender he'll usually face is 6'2", at all, if he's that big. So, you know, you've just got to throw up and take chances with Calvin. Sometimes you just have to take put the ball up there because he's good enough, and he's proven it in the past. He'll go for the ball. So, you know, that's one thing. So we'll look and see if he can do more.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously last year was a tremendous season in the sense of you throw it up and, hey, is he going to catch it? Oh, yeah, he's going to catch it. You know, sometimes, though, I think the other teams have learned that he can catch those. And as you mentioned earlier, he's taken some hard licks this year because of it. You know, Stafford will throw it in areas that he has to kind of jump up in the air to get it. Stafford knows he's going to get it, but, you know, unfortunately, his body takes a price for it.
Yes.
But, you know, if he gets up, you know, I'm sure it hurts a little bit the next day. But if he gets up and he catches it, I mean, I guess that's what counts. But, you know, I'm afraid one of these times Stafford's going to throw it up. He's going to go for it. And, you know, there's going to be two guys coming after him or something. Something bad is going to happen. I'm just afraid that's going to happen. But I would rather see where he's able to throw it right into his chest, and you know that he'll catch that all day. So hopefully he doesn't have to throw it up like he did last year to him.
Well, he got, you know, that last week's game against Minnesota, he got crushed on. I mean, Stafford put it to him right on the numbers, and he went in the end zone, and he got hit forward and backwards from the two players that were covering him, and he dropped the ball. And he's seeing a lot more of that, so he's got to make the adjustment of how he catches or when he catches the ball, how he goes up and get it to protect the moment. He got to protect yourself about the hit and how you're going to take the hit, and that's a problem for him. So that's going to be a big challenge for Calvin Johnson, because he is considered one of the best football players in the National Football League. So if he is one of the best, as they keep saying him and telling us about how good he is, then, you know, then he's going to have to start playing even better. And Mikael LeShore's got to play better, because, like you said and I said, you know, they need him to put up a good running game on the ground, and they need that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have a running game, you're not going to win this league. I mean, it's that simple. I don't care if you had four Calvin Johnson. Okay, well, I guess if you had four Calvin Johnson out there, you might win a few games. Yeah, you might win a few games. But, you know, the Lions, a great wide receiver core. But, you know, they're not, you know, depends on what kind of defense you face. Some days your pass game just isn't going to always be there as you would expect it maybe in a previous game where you threw up, 350 yards and everyone, you know, caught the ball pretty easily. You know, you have to have a run game. You have to keep the defense honest. It's that simple. Football has been that way for quite some time. That area hasn't changed. And so, you know, for LeShore, he's still coming into his own, obviously, young guy. So if they can get that established, then I expect that, you know, pass game to really, really open up. And then I expect Calvin to have much more, I guess, easier catches where he's not putting himself in danger.
Well, let's hope so. And we got to talk about the Tigers a little bit. I mean, they battled all the, as you know, I almost jumped off the bandwagon a lot of times, but I stuck with them. They got it done, and they're in the playoffs. They won the first two games. So what do you expect from the Tigers? Do you think... Now I'm starting to think they can definitely get to the World Series. Before, I thought, yeah, they'll make the playoffs. The fans should be happy with that. But now I'm thinking they might get to the World Series.
Yeah, you know, the first thing I've noticed with this team in the playoffs, and frankly, actually before they got in the playoffs, the games that they had, the one that they won that got them into there, it's just the energy. I mean, there's just so much more energy compared to earlier in the season. And I don't know if their game plan was the whole time just, we'll just be lazy. And at the end, we'll turn it up to, you know.
Yeah, turn it on and start playing.
Yeah, start playing to what we can play. If that was the case and they have all this energy now up until them, hopefully all the way to the World Series, great. It worked out for you. I don't know. That's just a speculation. But, they won the first two games, obviously. Frankly, I think they sweep the series, hopefully. You know, Sanchez, I believe, is pitching tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow, yep.
Yep. So, you know, if they don't, I still think they'll still win the series regardless, even if they don't sweep it. But I do think they do sweep it. I think Oakland's just too young of a team. I just don't think they have much experience. You know, and Detroit, just the energy is just there. It just seems like they're going to win this. And frankly, I think I agree with you. I think they can make the World Series. I just think their starting rotation, especially when it comes to playoffs, it's shorter. In the sense of, you know, people rotate more. I think their starting rotation is solid. And if, you know, their pitchers, you know, stay on cue like they're supposed to, get them deep into the innings, you know, sixth, seventh inning, maybe even the eighth, and Verlander sometimes will get you even into the ninth. They'll finish a game for you. I think that bodes well for them in the playoffs.
Yes, then give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870, and I think they should be able to make a very good playoff run. It just seems how everything is coming together at the right time. I don't know what took them so long, but it took a while for them to turn it around and start playing better. And you know, we're going to see that for the rest of the series. That is, it looks like this team is really starting ready to play.
Yeah, I don't know what the reason is either. I mean, you know, we're not the ones sitting there in the locker room. I frankly don't know what the reason is. I don't know if I'm sure Leland had a hand in it. I'm sure some of the team leaders had a hand in it. You know, whatever it is, they finally decided to show up. Hopefully it continues. You know, one thing that I've always been worried about is, you know, and maybe not for Detroit so much as some of the other teams, when they come in and play to Detroit, you know, if Detroit makes it late in the playoffs, it gets pretty cold in October. So, yes. You know, I think that bodes well for Detroit's favor. You know, I think they're used to playing in colder weather. You know, Oakland is obviously pretty warm most of the year. So, you know, hopefully that'll be something in Detroit's favor if they continue to do well in the playoffs.
Well, there's one team I know we're looking at that we're going to expect a lot from. That's the Detroit Pistons. They've struggled the last few years, but they had a first full training camp in a while. It looks like they've got the players getting ready, so they've got a lot of young players. It's going to be a very good young team. Can they win enough games to at least make the playoffs? That's their goal, is to make the playoffs this year. So do you think they can win enough games to make the playoffs?
I mean, I think they can. On paper, they have the talent. I mean, on paper, they surely do. I haven't diagnosed the rest of the division yet, so I'm not sure on that. But, I mean, from a purely paper standpoint, I think they can. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. Now that it's a normal season, and, you know, we don't have the strike or whatever, you know, I expect them to make the playoffs.
Okay. Well, I got to tell you, we got one of our guests tomorrow will be Gary Gillette. We'll talk baseball with Gary tomorrow, talk about the Tigers, what they're going to do in their chances. Hopefully we'll have a basketball guy, and we might have a basketball guy on tomorrow as well. So we'll look at that. The Pistons, we're going to look for sure, definitely at baseball. I want to thank you all for listening, and thank you all for calling. I invite you to come back and join us tomorrow. You've been listening to radio station WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870. So come back and join us tomorrow right here on WKAR. Have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, and I look forward to hearing from you tomorrow on AM 870. And also, we got to tell you, if you want to give and pledge your support to WKAR, give us a call at 353-5000, 353-5000, to pledge your support on AM 870. WKAR East Lansing.
From NPR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.